Turning God's Word tonight to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, and we'll read the first 13 verses of the chapter, and the text tonight will be verses 8 and 9. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And thus far we read God's holy and inspired word. As I said, the text tonight is verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. This text that we consider tonight is a passage that develops an aspect of what a godly life of gratitude looks like. This godly life of gratitude is not simply a life lived outwardly, a life lived of following a few rules in a few aspects or areas of life. We know that a life of gratitude is a life of obedience to God in all things. And we know that we are to live a life of obedience because such a life glorifies God. And so today, as we are reminded of the great gift of God to us in His Son Jesus Christ, and reminded of that gift not only in the preaching, but through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, our response to that is one of thanksgiving, but a thanksgiving that we want to live in our lives every day. But how the text develops this life of gratitude to God is in this way. It tells us that gratitude is not just a life, but it's a mindset. Part of that gratitude is our thinking. This is a passage about how mind and life, thinking and doing are connected. You see that here in the passage because in verse 8, Paul talks about think on these things.
And then in verse 9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So the passage itself is saying that there's a connection in our lives between what we think and what we do. And so we see and understand then that a life of gratitude has to do with what we think. It has to do with our minds. That's important for us to consider for many reasons. I know for myself and our family, this has been a passage we've been thinking about quite a bit recently with some of the things that are going on. But one of the things that I've been reminded about is that it's a term or terms that we're becoming more familiar with because they're spoken of in the world. It's mental health. There's some colleges that will have some days off for mental health. And you hear about that a lot in our day, mental health. You'd hear it on the news, you'd read it in print, and I hear it within the church as well. And it's not at all that I think we should not be concerned at all with mental health. But within the world, mental health is separated from the spiritual, and we ought not to do that because the Bible teaches us very clearly that our minds, the mental, are very closely connected to the spiritual. Mind is connected to the heart and connected as well to what we do. So it's important for us as we think at times about mental health that we do so from a spiritual perspective, not separating the mind at all from our hearts and our souls. But the Bible teaches us here in this passage that mind and heart and life are all connected. And so as Christians, as children of God, we ask in gratitude, not only how must I live, but we also ask ourselves the question, how must I think? And that's very important for us in the things that we face in our lives. We've reflected in our home on this passage quite a bit recently because of what has gone on in our churches. The controversy. And the schism, and the attacks, and the words that we hear. And then someone says, well, did you see the latest sword and shield? Did you hear what so-and-so said? Did you see what so-and-so wrote? What are we to do? This passage tells us not just what we're to do, but think on these things. These things. It's an important word for all the division that there is in the world and that comes into the church as well. And I think of that in light of COVID and what's on social media and what there is about vaccinations and what is on there about masks and the disagreements that arise and all of the rest. What do we think about all of these things? The Word of God comes to us and says, think on these things. When there's anxiety and fear, that's the context here. Even though Paul makes a break here in verse 8, he says, finally, he's switching gears, but yet it's not disconnected from what has gone before. What was he dealing with in the verses before? Verse 6, be careful, be anxious for nothing. He's dealing with anxiety, with the fears that we have. And we have fears and anxieties as we live our lives in the midst of this world. And what are we to think about in the midst of those? And the Word of God comes and says, think on these things. And then you see and understand that what we think is so important for how we live. What are these things that we are to think on? Well, the passage sets that before us here in verse 8. And whatever it is that we are facing, whatever it is we're going through, there is a thinking and a doing that results. So we consider tonight this passage under the theme, thinking on these things. Notice first the meaning of this, secondly the reasons for it, and then finally the blessing. I want to understand here what the text is calling us to do when it says think on these things. There's something we learn here very importantly about thinking. And we see here that thinking is a conscious and deliberate activity. It's a conscious and deliberate activity. Sometimes we might not think about thinking in that way. We might think instead, well, there are thoughts that pop in my head and I have no control over these things. They're just there. And the Word of God, since it is a command, says, no, there's a right way to think and there is a wrong way to think. And we are to bring our thoughts captive. We're to bring our thoughts under control. We are to rein them in. That's the idea here. Because the word think means this. In the original, it means to reckon, to count, to calculate, to deliberate. What the text is saying is that this kind of thinking is deliberate reasoning. God has created us with this amazing ability to think, to reason deliberately. And you know that. You know that by experience. Tomorrow morning when you go to work, you're going to do some thinking no matter what your work is. If you're an engineer, you're going to be thinking about this project that you're working on and how is this going to work and how do we make everything fit together. You're thinking through these processes. If you're in construction, and whatever part of construction you're in, there's thinking that's done and calculating that's done. And how long do I have to cut this board and how do I make these things all fit together and so on. And so forth. If you're a mechanic, you're going to be thinking about the problem that's wrong. Something's wrong with this car and how is it fixed? There's thinking that takes place. You kids and young people will go to school tomorrow and you're going to think. There's going to be math problems to think your way through. How do I get my answer? You're going to be thinking in English classes. You're reading certain things and thinking in all of the classes that you are in. The text here is calling us to a spiritual thinking in our lives. It's calling us to think on certain things so that when we think on these things, this will guide us in the decisions that we make and the circumstances that we face. This command of the passage tells us that it matters what we think and we're responsible for what we think and we can bring under control our thoughts in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the question is here, as we consider this command, what are the things that we are to think about? With six words, the passage tells us to think on certain things. Now, see and understand that these are not six things that are disconnected. They are six words that are all connected, that are focused really on Jesus Christ and His truth. And that comes out in the first word that is found here in the passage as to what we are to think on. And notice the way it's put. Whatsoever things are true. That first of all. Whatsoever things are true. What are the things that are true? Well, this word true, the opposite of it is that which is false. So that which is false is that which comes from Satan. It's that which is found in the world. And the idea is we must not think according to the way that Satan thinks and what Satan teaches. And we must not think according to the philosophies and the teachings and the false teachings of this world. But we are to think those things that are true. It's interesting that so often in the New Testament, where you find this word true, and you find it often in the New Testament, the focus is on Christ. One example of that is what we read in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 31. Jesus here is speaking and following. John 5, 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I receive not testimony from man. But these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. So there, Jesus is talking about himself as truth. John the Baptist was witnessing of him, and his witness was true that Jesus is the Christ. And so often then you find where this word is found, a reference to Christ. We are to think on the things of God's Word, and the truth of God's Word is the idea. So that when we think about the events that are going on in our lives, when we respond to hardships in our lives, the Word of God comes to us and says, think on what is true. What's truth? Along with that, whatever is honest. This comes from a word that means to revere or worship. It can be translated noble or honorable. And I think that it is in other translations, if I remember right. Honest is what is noble or honorable. We're not to think on those things that are profane, those things that are vile, those things that are vain, and that's so much of what is found in this world. Instead, we must think on the things that are of good character. And what are the things that are of good character? Again, the things of good character are found right here in the Word of God. And then the text goes on to say, whatever is just, literally righteous. These are the things that God says are right. Again, sinners in this world think on sin. They're plotting sin and injustices against wife, husband, in their businesses, and so on. The book of Proverbs talks about that as well. That those who are wicked, they are thinking on sin and what they can do in their sin. And that was the description that is given in Genesis 6 just before the flood. When every thought and every imagination of the thoughts of man was only evil continually. That's the evil that is found within us. But the Word of God says, no, don't think on those things, the things of sin and injustice. But instead, think on those things that are right, right according to the Word of God. And then along with that, whatever is pure. Pure means chaste, pure, holy, whatever is not sinful. We shouldn't be thinking about all of the immorality of this world and taking in all of the immorality of this world. But instead, we think on that which is pure according to God's standard. Pure and holy living. Think on these things. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22 speaks of that. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. So there's that word pure in contrast to sin. Keep thyself pure. Here the Word of God is saying to us, think on those things that are pure. Then whatever is lovely, these are the things that are beautiful and acceptable and pleasing to God. Don't think on those things that are ugly, sin and darkness and all the rest, but God and His truth, which are so beautiful. And then finally, those things that are of good report. That means good sounding things. There's all kinds of things in this world that are not good sounding things. The music of this world, the chatter and talk of this world, the gossip and slander that goes on in this world in print, on blogs, on social media, and the news and all of the rest, the things of hatred and violence. No, things of good report. Think on those things, the things of a kind spirit and goodwill to others. But you see, beloved, in all of those terms, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. They all go back to the same things. Truth and good things that are found right here in the Word of God. The Word of God comes to us tonight and says, think on these things. And whatever situation arises, whatever circumstance there is, and you're wondering, how do I think about this? The Word of God doesn't give you one thing to think on. It says, think on the things of the Word of God that centers on Jesus Christ and spreads out from there because He is the truth. Think on these things. What does it mean to think on these things? Well, that command here that comes to us is a word that means continue to do that in your lives. It's not a one-time thing, but constantly. And the idea then is to meditate on these things. That's how the Scriptures speak of this kind of thinking. It's not just a quick thought that quickly leaves us, but a constant chewing on the things that are found in God's Word. The psalmist writes in Psalm 1, verse 3, that he will meditate on God's law day and night. In Psalm 119, verse 99, the psalmist there says that God's testimonies are our meditation. That means that we keep God's Word, we keep His truth on our minds, so that this is the truth that leads us and guides us in our lives every day, in our decisions, in our responses, and in our thoughts. Now understand the text correctly. It doesn't mean that we are to think about nothing else. So that in your minds ought only to be the things of God and His Word and truth. That's not what the text is saying. It's not saying only think on these things and never think about anything else. Because if that were the case and you take that to its logical conclusion, that would mean, well, men, quit your jobs. Don't send the kids to school. Stay at home. Study your Bible from the moment you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night. And then just think about these things throughout the day, sitting in a meditative position in a corner in the room. And don't do anything else or think on anything else. That's not what the text is saying. But what the text is teaching us is that as we go to work in the morning, kids, as you go to school tomorrow, and then you have some time when you get home, and you sit down for supper together tomorrow night, and then you go to catechism tomorrow night, and then there are many other things that you do, and there are times that you go on vacation, and there's businesses to run, and things to do in that business, and there's some sports that you're involved in, or sports that you might watch. The Word of God isn't saying, never think on any of those things. But the Word of God is saying that as you do those things, think on these things. They ought never to be absent from our minds. We never turn them off and say, well, right now, I don't have to think on the things of God and His truth. But the idea is constantly, as you live your life, think on these things. So when you go to work, when you go to school, when you play with your friends, young people, when you're with your friends, when you go to Costco, when you go to Meijer, and whatever else that it is that you do, think on these things. When you're sorrowing and when you're happy, think on these things. When you're reading, when you're browsing, and whatever else it is that you're doing, think on these things. This is part of bringing our thoughts captive to Christ. Our thoughts captive to Christ. So the idea is that in the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ Himself, we train our minds to think a certain way and from a right perspective. And that's the idea. We train our minds to think according to God's truth and the power of Jesus Christ so that we're thinking about the things that happen. We're thinking about the things that are seeing all with this truth as our guide. That's what's so important then in our homes about family worship. That's what's so important about parenting. That in our parenting, we're teaching our children to think a certain way. And that's the importance of our Christian schools that builds on the parenting at home, teaching our children and young people to think about certain things, to think about things in a certain way, whether it's math, science, English, and all of the rest, to look at it from the perspective of the truth of the Word of God. So may we, beloved, learn to think on these things. This is a word for us in difficult things we go through. This is a word for us in all the situations that we might face. This is a word for us tonight when we're thinking about medical care and treatment, whether it's COVID or anything else. We think on these things. This is what we're to think about when there's the temptation and you're on Facebook, you're on Instagram, and there's someone who's ranting or raving on there, and you agree with that rant or rave, or you don't agree with the rant or rave, but you're taking it in, and you're thinking on these things, and you're getting all excited and all worked up about these things. No, think on these things. Don't think on those things. When it comes to accusations that are made against us, and the latest sword and shield comes out, or someone says, you ought to listen to this, and you ought to read that. No, think on these things. The things that are true. The things that are honest. The things that are just. The things that are pure. The things that are lovely. The things that are of good report. And then, when you feel attacks from others, and the Word of God says, think on these things. Or, when there's depression, anxiety, and fear that we face in our lives, the Word of God has something to say about that. Think on these things. It doesn't mean it automatically goes away. This is not a pill to fix it. But the Word of God is saying, whatever we go through, whatever struggle we go through, think on these things. And that's what we do as the people of God. This is part of our life of gratitude for what God has done to us or for us in Jesus Christ. This is the good counsel that Paul gives to the church in Philippi, and the good counsel from God Himself to us. Think on these things. Why? Why think on these things? Two reasons that are given here in the passage. The one is found in verse 8, when it speaks of these things and says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The idea is, because these things are virtuous and praiseworthy, think on them. The second reason is found in verse 9, which is connected to the doing. Thinking has an effect on our doing. Our thinking affects what we do and how we will live. So we look at those two things here. First of all, think on these things because these things are virtuous and praiseworthy. They're excellent things. There's nothing better in all of the world to think about as you live your life than the things that are found in the Word of God. Are you convicted of that? There's so many other things that we can think about that are not worth our time to think about, because they provide no guidance and they provide no lasting joy or comfort. They are vain, they're pointless, they're worthless. Now, what are these things? First of all, these things involve thoughts, wrong thoughts about ourselves. But so easily our thoughts are taken up with these things. And what I mean by that are not just selfish thoughts in general, but now think about it specifically. We can worry about our appearance and what others think about us. We spend all kinds of time and energy and thoughts on that kind of fear. What do other people think about us? What about my appearance? Or we think about the things I want, and we want things to revolve around us. And when we don't get our way, we get so upset about that. Or when we're under attack, we think about ourselves and we begin to feel sorry for ourselves about how bad we have it, how unfair it is, and what it is that I want. And beloved, see and understand that all of those kinds of thoughts, and that's what we're prone to, are not only going to lead to more wrong thinking, but they're going to lead to evil and sin in our lives, because all of that leads to covetousness. It leads to envy. It leads to sinful anger. It leads to hatred and bitterness and despair. And so the Word of God tells us then, if we're not disciplined in our thinking and we let our thoughts run wild, then the end of that is that we will be filled with sinful things themselves and we'll be doing sinful things. And Satan knows it. He knows it. And that's why he's trying to capture our thoughts and bring them captive to the thoughts of this world. There's a battle going on right now, beloved, and it's a battle for your minds. Because if Satan gets control of your thinking, he knows that will get control of your hearts, and that will get control of your lives as well. And that is a form of demon possession. Oh, not maybe like what the Bible speaks of, but demon possession. Thoughts, minds, hearts, lives under the dominion of this wrong thinking. And Satan knows as well that if he can capture the minds of our children, then he thinks that he can win the victory over them. Thankfully, God delivers them, but there's a battle going on even for the minds of our children and our young people. And the Word of God comes to us and says, don't think on these things because there's nothing good in these things. To think on these things is like spending all day thinking about manure. That's not something I make up. If you go back to Philippians 3 and you look at verses 7 and 8, remember what Paul says there. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. It's all the wrong thoughts, that which is false and wrong. He compares that to dung, to manure. And now, to think on these things is like thinking on manure. Who wants to think about manure all day? But that's often what we do. This tells us that it's very important what it is that we take into our minds through our eyes and our ears. Mustn't forget that either. Our thoughts are influenced by what we take in. And what we take in, none of it is neutral. It's either for God or against God. For example, beloved, if for 6 days of the week we're taking in all the things of this world with the music and the television and the movies and everything that's found in social media that is not God glorifying, and that's all what we're taking in, and then we come here on the Lord's Day, it's very good for us to do so, and we have a spiritual intake of that which is good, but think about what that's going to do to our minds if for 6 days we're taking in all of that. The manure of this world, it's going to influence us even in our hearing of the preaching of the gospel. If we are to think in a right way, we must have a daily intake of the Word of God. We need to hear good preaching on the Lord's Day, but also we need to read God's Word in our homes. It's important that we attend Bible study, that we read good literature, that we're watching those things that are edifying and listening to good things. Even in thinking about this, as I was reminded of the importance of good Christian music and what an influence that can have on our minds through the day, especially when we're despairing and downcast. Listening to good music lifts us up and builds us up. And I'm remembered of that in a very concrete way. Maybe some of you had or have the same CD we had when our kids were very young. And we would play these CDs over and over again. My wife heard them much more than I did when the kids were young. But they were the words of Scripture put to music. And as I was working on this passage this week, one of them was running through my mind because this was one of those passages put to music. Think about such things or think about these things. And maybe you know the song as I speak of it. But that's the importance of taking in which is good and right so it affects our minds and our thinking as well. Just to illustrate that, think about what an effect the things that we take in our bodies have upon our lives. If we eat junk food for every meal and snacks in between as well, that's going to have an effect upon our bodies and how we live. So also, if we're taking in a spiritual diet of the things of all of this world and listening to what the world says and on social media all the time and all the rest, it's going to influence our minds. So the Word of God comes to us and it says, think on these things, and think on these things because they're good, they're right, they're praiseworthy. It's saying to us then, maybe we need to get off our screens and put away the social media and turn the television off and be in the Word of God so that we're thinking on these things. We're to put that thinking of the world behind and think on the things that are good, because they're virtuous and praiseworthy. These are the things we're thinking about. And they're worth thinking about because as you look at the words, true, honest or honorable, just or righteous, pure, lovely, good report, who do they point us to? Are these not the very perfections and virtues of God Himself? That's what makes the things that are found in the Word so good. Because in this Word we read of God and His greatness. He's the one who's true. He's the one who's good. He's the one who's lovely. He's the one who's pure. He's the one who's holy. He's the one who's righteous. And that's why these things in the Word of God are so good for us. They're the things that glorify and magnify our God. They're the things of His gospel and grace and what He's done for us in Jesus Christ. They're the things that are God-focused and God-centered. And that's what we want our thinking to be. Not me-centered and me-focused, but God-centered and God-focused, Christ-centered and Christ-focused. That's how Christians learn to think. And so think on these things because they're good. They're praiseworthy. Secondly, we are to think on these things because this kind of thinking results in a right doing. That's what Paul is saying in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Do. Paul's saying here that this thinking results in doing. This thinking and behavior are related. A sinful life results from sinful thinking that develops from sinful input. You see how they're connected? If we take in that which is sinful and evil and wrong, it affects our thinking and we think on these things and that affects our doing. It affects what we do in the way in which we live our lives. That's how it starts with so many sins. We take in, start thinking about it, we look at the circumstances, and eventually we do. This will be, the result of this will be growing and developing in sin. And so that's the sharp warning of the text then. Bad input is going to result in wrong thinking and sinful doing. If in our thoughts we're dabbling with sin, it's going to lead to greater sin in our lives. So don't think on those things. Think on those things that are true. Do that. Because thinking on those things that are true, as God works in us, that strengthens us to live a life of obedience. This thinking on those things that are right and good results in has a profound influence upon our lives. We can look at it this way. There's much talk in the world today about influencers. Now, if you don't know about influencers, it's okay. But influencers are those who have a following, usually on social media. They have a blog, they have a vlog, they have a social media site. And people read them or watch what they're doing and follow their example, their influences in culture and society. Hopefully we're not following those who are considered influencers in our world today. But if you're going to use that language or just think about it from this perspective, the ultimate influencer is Jesus Christ Himself. We look to Him. If you want an example of what this text is talking about, look to Him. He was the one who lived a perfect life, a righteous life. But it wasn't just His life. It wasn't just outward. Yes, it was His heart, but it was His mind. Thinking on those things that were true and lovely and good, and thinking about these things, He lived that out in His life. Now granted, you and I cannot do that in the perfection of Jesus Christ, but what this passage is saying to us is, follow Christ! Follow Christ!
He's the one who thinks on what is true and right, and He lives out of that. And may we do the same in our lives, so that when we consider our Christian lives, our lives of gratitude, we're asking this question. Not only how does God want me to live, but how does God want me to think? How does God want me to think? And as we think on those things that are true and lovely and good, it's going to have a result in our lives, a God-centered, a God-oriented life in the way that we live each and every day, living for His glory so that this becomes our focus and goal in all of life. So the Word of God comes to us and says, think on these things, because the result of that will be a life lived in gratitude to God more and more in obedience to Him. But the passage also sets before us the blessing of this. It's the end of verse 9. And the God of peace shall be with you. If we are not thinking on that which is pure, the Word of God says there will not be the experience as well of peace. Sinful living does not result in peace. It always ends in unrest. It always ends in chaos. It results in tossing and turning. It results in noise that cannot be silenced. It's the noise and the unrest of this world in which we live. And don't you see all of that? We live in a world where there's no contentment. There's no peace. They're searching for it and cannot find it. That's what sinful thinking and sinful living always results in. It never ends well, because in the end, it ends with the wrath of God itself. But in the way of thinking on what is true and lovely, doing it, there is the experience of peace with God. It's not simply that, well, things go smoothly or there's a lack of fighting. No, it's knowing God, knowing His love, knowing that He is our constant friend and helper, knowing that He is a God who's working all things for our good. It's the peace that surpasses knowledge, that passes all understanding, as we read of that in verse 7. Paul comes back to that wonderful peace. It's a peace that is ours in Jesus Christ. It's the peace that we have because of His finished work. And thus we are the friends of God. But we see and also understand also that this is the peace that we experience in the way of thinking on the things that are true and right and lovely, and living out of that thinking in our lives each and every day. So may you and I be filled with the knowledge of that wonderful peace. Peace we have in Jesus Christ. Peace we think about in Him. So, beloved, we have this word that comes to us, and there are things coming at us, and we don't know what we'll face in this coming week. But in whatever you face, in your work that you return to tomorrow, in the hardships and difficulties that you may return to tomorrow as well, the Word of God comes to us and says, no matter what it is we face, think on these things. Because they're good, they're lovely, and the result of that will be thankful living. May God, by His Spirit, work that in us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, there's so many thoughts that we have within us that are not pure or lovely. There's so many thoughts that are selfish and wrong. There's so many desires that we have that come out of those thoughts that are for the things of sin and ungodliness. Oh God, forgive that within us. Forgive not only sinful actions, but sinful thoughts. But we pray that Thou wilt use this word tonight, that we would grow in sanctification, that we would grow in gratitude, that we would grow in our minds and our thoughts and our thinking, because thinking is connected to life. And Thou art a God who has given us minds, and we're thankful for the ability to think. We pray now that in the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, we would think in this week on those things that are true and good and lovely. Grant us that strength. Go with us in this new week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.